In the movie Deja Vu, Denzel Washington's character asks the question, what if you had to tell someone the most important thing in the world, but you knew they'd never believe you? The answer given to him was, I'd try. This recording presents information which some people will believe, some might wonder about, and others will never believe. You're about to hear from two men who arrived at overpowering destinations very few people returned from. These places blew their minds. Their senses were supercharged, and the sights and sounds were off the charts. You might think these men are crackpots, but they are intelligent, practical, and honest. As you listen, you might think all of this is, well, absurd. You could have a dozen reasons for rejecting what you are going to hear. But you should ask yourself, what if I'm wrong? What will happen to me and to my loved ones if this information turns out to be true? Are you willing to give this 20-minute recording a chance? If so, here goes. With his best-selling book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, Don Piper, a pastor from Texas, describes his remarkable journey to a place of eternal bliss. In 1989, Don was in his red Ford Escort when he drove onto a bridge and was hit head-on by an 18-wheeler. Don was pronounced dead at the scene. A fellow pastor, Dick Onerecker, came upon the crash. At that point, Dick was sure God told him to go and pray for the man in the red car. So he squeezed inside the demolished red car and began to pray for its mangled occupant, Don. He prayed his heart out and eventually began to sing the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 90 minutes after he had died, much to Dick's surprise, Don suddenly joined in on the singing. He was alive! Here are brief portions of his account, delivered at a church in Houston, of those 90 minutes, when Don is absolutely convinced his soul was in heaven instead of in that red Escort.
When I was in heaven, I was surrounded by people I knew and loved in life. And I'm telling you what, they looked really, really good. If you want to look really, really good, heaven is the place you want to be. They just all look great up there. I mean, what they do in heaven is you look perfect. You look the way God wanted you to be before you were scarred and aged by life. Well, these people all look great. And it was wonderful to see them. There really is a magnificent gate. It's sculpted out of mother of pearl. It looks like the inside of an oyster. It's so bright and brilliant there that the lights are reflecting off the gate like nothing I've ever seen before. It's magnificent. In fact, everything in heaven is magnificent. It defies earthly words. It's that great. I saw colors there that don't exist here. I heard sounds there I've never heard here. Heaven is a sensory explosion. It's so far beyond anything we can even comprehend or wrap our brains around. I mean, earlier I was doing a book signing here, and people came by and they asked questions about heaven, and I would answer them as best I can. But I got news for you. Heaven is not described in earthly words. We try to compare it because we have no choice. This is all we know. But it so far surpasses anything we can experience here that the words just don't do it justice. They can't. It's not only that beautiful and breathtaking and awesome, it's that real. It's the most real thing I've ever experienced. It makes this pale in comparison. I know I'm just passing through here now. I knew it before the truck hit me, but now I really know it, and I know how real and permanent that is. This is not permanent. This won't be here someday, and neither will you. So, it's just that real. They really do have golden streets. We shouldn't be surprised, is what the Bible says. They have golden streets. And they go inside the gate and they kind of fan out in all directions. And there really are structures inside of it. They're the sound of wings all over the place. You know, you walk out into the woods and you flush out a covey of birds and they begin to take wing and fly away. In heaven, you can hear that all over the place. Because there's angels everywhere ministering to God's people. And you can hear them hovering about. It's a very comforting, encouraging sound. as their wings, the kind of the holy beat of their wings. And the other sound I heard was the sound of music. There is much music in heaven. The stunning thing about it is there were many, many songs being rendered at the same time and there was no chaos. Here we play a couple of songs and we say, I can only handle one song, please. Heaven, thousands, thousands. And you can hear each one of them with your heavenly ears. I'm listening to those songs as I'm going through the gates and I'm walking on the golden streets and I'm having fellowship with all these people I haven't seen in so many years, at least in an earthly sense, and the crowd parts, and I'm going through the gates and I'm looking at this peak, this brilliant peak where the Lord is high and lifted up, and I'm focusing on that because he's the one I want to see. Even in spite of all these reunions I've had outside, and I'm going through the gates and it's just magnificent. There's such a feeling of euphoria and bliss and glory. It's just awesome. Suddenly in the back, behind me, I hear the voice that I had never heard before, but was privileged to hear afterwards. The voice of a pastor who stopped on a bridge. What a friend we have in Jesus. Suddenly, I'm back in the car. I didn't want to be back in the car. But apparently God wanted me back in the car. So I could tell you, heaven is real. It's real.
Another person says he has visited a terrible place beyond our world. Bill Weiss, a realtor from California, is absolutely convinced that in 1998, he literally spent 23 minutes in hell. The first reaction of many people is that Weiss had a bad dream, or perhaps he's crazy or a liar. Like Don Piper, Bill says he had a completely genuine experience. Both men say their encounters were vastly more real than their experiences on Earth, and completely different from any dream. Their senses were electrified, and the events they participated in were far more vivid than earthly events. Bill says it took a full year for the horrible memories of this encounter to subside enough for him to be able to talk about it. He says the conditions in hell are infinitely worse than anything we can experience on earth. Here are a few portions of Bill Weiss's description of hell, which he presented at a church in Kansas City.
I have no idea why he picked me to go there. I'm the least likely to go to this place. My wife and I hate evil movies. We hate anything bad. I don't even like the summertime, much less heat. Everything I saw, heard, felt, everything to do with hell, it's already in the Bible. So whatever I'm telling you, it's already there. So to get right into it quickly, we went home like any other normal night and went to bed. And about 3:00 in the morning, I was taken. I did not know how I got there until I returned, the Lord explained. But I was just found myself, I dropped into a prison cell. Just a regular prison cell like you would imagine, with rough-hewn stone walls and bars on the door. And I didn't know where I was yet. All I knew that it was extremely, terribly hot. It was so hot, I couldn't believe that I was alive in this cell. I felt like I should have been disintegrated with this heat, but I was still alive. So part of hell has prison cells and chambers and pits of fire and big areas of fire. And all I heard was screams. People, billions of people screaming in this place. I knew there were billions. And it was so loud. If you ever heard somebody scream before, it's so annoying to hear a scream. You know, it's just, well, to hear billions of people screaming, you can't believe how that affects your mind. You're just, you can't stand it. You want to hold your ears, but it's so loud and penetrating, you can't get away from the screams. And the fear that overcomes you is unbelievable. Because it's dominated by fear. There is no presence of God in this place. And I know something about fear. When I was really young, we were in Cocoa, Florida surfing, and there was a school of sharks came all around us. And about a 9-foot tiger shark came up and bit my board right in half. And it grabbed me by the leg and pulled me down. And so my leg was in the mouth of this giant shark. And all of a sudden it let me go. So I understand fear, but that fear was nothing, absolutely nothing compared to the fear I felt in hell. No comparison at all. There is no water in hell at all. No water. There's no humidity in the air and no water of any kind. It is so dry, you are desperate for a drop of water, just one. And I thought, oh, this place is so horrible and horrendous. All this is going on at the same time. You're thirsty and you're hungry and you're exhausted. You don't get to sleep in hell either. You need sleep, just like you would now. Your body needs sleep. The worst thing in hell, the worst thing, worse than the torments and everything else, was I understood, first of all, that there was a life going on up here on the earth. And that people up here had, most people, had no idea that this world exists down here. And they don't even know this is a real world down here, and there's billions of people suffering and begging for one chance that they had an opportunity to get out, but they never get a chance to get out. This is the worst thing about hell, was that there was absolutely no hope of ever getting out. I understood that. I found myself in this cell, and these four creatures were in the cell with me. I didn't realize what they were, but they were enormous. They were about 12 or 13 feet tall. Horrible, horrible looking things. About this time, they each grabbed an arm and a leg and were about to tear off my legs and arms. And I thought, I can't endure this. I can't endure this. All of a sudden, just all of a sudden, Jesus showed up. Praise you, Lord. Jesus showed up. This bright light lit up the place. I only saw his outline, the outline of a man. I couldn't see his face. It was so bright. And I just looked into this light and saw his outline. And I just fell on my knees and collapsed. I couldn't do anything but worship him. I was so grateful that 1 second ago I was lost forever. And now all of a sudden I'm out of this place. Because I already had known Jesus. Those people can't get out. I thought, Lord, why did you send me to this place? Why did you send me here? And he said to me, because people do not believe that this place exists. He said, go tell them that I hate this place, that it is not my desire for one of my creation to go to this place, not one. I never made this for man. This was made for the devil and his angels. You have to go and tell them. I've given you a mouth. You go and tell them. And I thought to myself, but Lord, I thought, they're not going to believe me. They're going to think I'm crazy or had a bad dream. I mean, wouldn't you think that? And I thought those thoughts. And the Lord answered me and he said, it's not your job to convict them. It's the Holy Spirit's job. You just go and tell them. And I was just inside, yes sir, absolutely, I have to go and tell them.
Do you believe these two men? Maybe you agree with some people who can't accept Bill Weiss's story because he sounds too calm. You might think he didn't really go to hell because he doesn't sound completely freaked out. But again, you should ask yourself, what if I'm wrong? What will happen to me and to my loved ones if this information turns out to be true? The question Bill says he's asked most often is, how could a loving God send people to hell? Bill discovered that God does not send anyone to hell. God would prefer to see nobody go there, but he allows people to make their own choices. God did not create us to be puppets. Rather, he places incredible value on our independence. Many of us fail to realize that this is serious business. Bill and the pastor, Don, learned firsthand that each of us has an eternal spirit, and the way in which we handle spiritual matters in this life have eternal consequences. If an individual doesn't turn toward God and properly embrace him now, that person will be lost from God's embrace forever. Don and Bill's details about heaven and hell agree with the Bible's descriptions of those places. The Bible explains that each person will end up in one of these two destinations eventually, and the news is not good for most of us. The bad news is, unless a person submits to an intervention, he or she is destined for hell. Maybe you think anyone who has led a good life will be okay and will end up in heaven someday. But that's not true. Nobody is good enough to get into heaven. This is because God is in heaven and He is purer than the whitest snow. Only those people who are perfect, like He is, are permitted to join Him there. Unfortunately, no human is perfect or sinless, so we have a big problem. However, God offers a solution to that problem. He offers good news. Let's hear from Don and Bill one more time. First, Bill.
I knew and understood there is no way out of this place, only by Jesus. He is the only way to keep from going to this place.
How do you go to heaven? Is it real? How do you go? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, I went to heaven when the big truck hit me because I knew the way.
So it actually is Jesus, one of our society's favorite cuss words, who is the key for deciding whether a person goes to heaven or hell. In the face of the steady march of people heading toward hell, God decided upon a startling intervention. He wanted to offer each individual the chance to have the penalty for their sin canceled. God's remedy was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to provide a way out. This involved the Son's death on our behalf. When Jesus was being crucified on a cross, He somehow took on all of our sins. Remarkably, Jesus received the punishment for our wrongdoings. He died for us and then was miraculously brought back to life. God made an extraordinary sacrifice when He gave up His Son for us. How do you suppose He wants us to acknowledge that gift of love? Maybe by thinking about Him a little more often? Or maybe by being a little nicer to other people? No. Think about it. If the Creator of the universe gave up His own Son for you, does it seem fitting that a mediocre response on your part will get you by? Don't run the risk of falling short by giving anything less than an all-out response to God. Your eternal soul lies in the balance. You'd better not hold anything back. God wants your full attention, your full surrender to Him, and your full allegiance. So the decision is yours. Will you choose to embrace God fully, or do you prefer to keep Him at arm's length? Unless you embrace Him, be warned of the terrible consequence you will pay if the claims of Don Piper, Bill Weiss, and the Bible are true. You will be tortured in hell. God wants you in heaven with Him, but you must open your arms to Him and accept God on His terms. The way to become properly connected to God, thus qualifying for heaven, is to pour out your heart to Him. Talk to Him and be as honest and passionate as you possibly can be. First, turn away from your sins, which are those thoughts, words, and actions which displease God. Then accept Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and its punishment. I'll suggest a prayer for you to pray. I'll say the prayer first, then I'll say it again more slowly. If you'd like to make the prayer your own, repeat the words after me when I say them the second time. Here's the prayer. God, I am a sinner. I have tried to run my life my way and have pretty much ignored You. I want Your Son, Jesus, to come into my life. I believe that He died and then was raised from the dead for me. He is my pathway to You. I now accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior from sin and from hell. Now repeat the prayer after me. God, I am a sinner. I have tried to run my life my way. I have pretty much ignored You. I want your son, Jesus, to come into my life. I believe that he died and then was raised from the dead for me. He is my pathway to you. I now accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior from sin and from hell. If you were sincere in praying that prayer, you have properly connected yourself to God. The Bible says you are saved or born again. The moment you left your mother's womb, you were born physically. Now you also have been born spiritually. God will be delighted to see you in heaven one day. Before that day arrives, He will be delighted to see you grow spiritually right here on earth. To mature you in your faith, speak with God, remembering these tips when you pray. Keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up. Also, pick up a Bible and begin reading it. You might start with the book of Luke or John in the New Testament. And ask the person who introduced you to this recording to help you find a good church near you, a church which will help you grow in your knowledge of God and obedience to Him. A major part of that obedience is learning to follow Jesus' example by serving those who are in need. Finally, after you have arrived in heaven somewhere down the road, be sure to thank Don Piper and Bill Weiss, and especially Jesus Christ, for helping you get there.